There is something that has been on my heart for a long, long time to speak with you all about, and it's a very difficult subject. It's a tough topic. Remember, our tough topics are those of which we've been preaching through that are controversial of our day, or also things that you don't hear preached on a whole lot, dealt with from Scripture anymore. You know, they're kind of obscure in the Bible. I've tried to really spend some time just going through them, and they've not always been popular, and they have resulted in questions and comments and kind of things. But there is something in Ephesians chapter 6 that I stand before you right now, and honestly, I'm trying to find the words to say because I tremble when we begin to even dip our toe into these waters. I really think that it's important that we try to silence our phones, put our minds in it, limit our movements, because we are going to address something here that the devil is not going to like. He is going to be most displeased with. And I'm going to do this in two parts. I'm going to start it this morning, and I'm probably going to be pretty brief this morning. Next week, I'm going to dig into the nuts and bolts of this. And it's going to be very uncomfortable for us because I believe that this week there's going to be demonic influence in our life as we approach this next Sunday. But we've got to look at these things. We've got to address these things. Now, this Sunday morning, I'm merely going to introduce this to you and probably just share the first thought, the first truth. But next Sunday morning, I'm going to drill down into why it is so hard for you and I to serve God. I'm going to drill down on what is happening in our world today. I'm going to deal with demonic influence in our nation, in our homes, and in our churches, our individual lives. And we're going to look at four areas next week by which the devil is running rampant and demons are influencing our world. Not just influencing our world, but they are influencing your life here this morning. They're going to be influencing your life throughout this week. And next Sunday morning, I'm going to show you exactly what the Word of God says about it and where the demons are in this world and how they're influencing you. And I want you to come with an open heart, and I want you to ask God to change your life next Sunday morning as you leave here, understanding from that point on, open eyes, that this is demonic influence that we're dealing with. Because we're seeing it today now more than ever before. I want you to bow your head with me and we're going to pray. And as I pray, I want you to pray with your whole heart. God will do a work in this place and He'll make some things real to us. Let's plead the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ in this time and ask for God's mercy and His protection throughout this week, and that it'll bring us back again next Sunday morning. I would deal with the rest of this on a Sunday night, but I'm going to be very frank with you. I'm afraid many of us won't be back on a Sunday night. But I'm asking you to come next Sunday morning because you're going to find some answers to some questions that you have. If you'll just simply come and have an open heart to what the Scripture says, pray with me. Our Father, in Jesus' name, I come before You. And Lord, I acknowledge my weakness this morning. I acknowledge my inability to do anything. Lord, I come before you as humble, Lord, as I can, as broken as you've done in my spirit this past week in preparation for this. Yet, Lord, with fear and with trembling because of the tough topics we'll look at this morning and next Sunday morning. And I'm asking for your help. I'm asking, Lord, that you would push back and draw back all of that opposing power of hell. That your Holy Spirit, Lord, would reign supreme in the middle of it all. And for that man, woman, or young person that is here today that is battling, Lord, with things in their life, battling, Lord, with drug addiction, alcohol addiction, Lord, just a mind that is corrupt. Lord, looking in our nation today and the things that are happening, all of these things, dear God, that is causing such decay in our world and in our life and in our churches, I pray that you would make these things real to us on this Sunday morning. We need God. Lord, I'm asking you to take control of this time. Lord, I asked you before Brother Joel even got up to sing, Lord, change our direction if this is not what you have. And Lord, it did not seem that you did. So we're asking you to help us now. And Lord, we'll thank you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. I want to thank you for praying with me. Now you'll stand to your feet if you would please and look in Ephesians chapter number 6 to a passage of Scripture that is familiar to many. Ephesians chapter number 6. I hope you will look in your Bible and you'll see it. But I'm going to read it and listen very closely. Beginning in verse number 10, the Bible says, "Finally, my brethren." Now stop. Understand who he's talking to here. We'll dig deeper into that in a moment. When he says, "my brethren," he's talking even here to a believer. Somebody that's saved. So don't you think just because you're saved, you know you're on your way to heaven. Don't you think that you're not going to battle the dark world, demonic influence in your life? You certainly do. Certainly an unsaved person has that possession, but even the believer has that oppression. "Finally, my brethren," verse 10, "be strong in the Lord, in the power of whose might? His might. Put on the" what armor of God? "Whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil." Now look at verse 12. "For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities." There's one of them. "Against powers." There's another one. "Against the rulers of the darkness of this world." There's the third one. "Against spiritual wickedness in high places." We'll break all those down next week. Verse number 13. "Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand." Now look at the first two words of verse 14. "Stand. Therefore." Stand, therefore. Now, the following verses are giving us the various forms of the armor of God. You're familiar with them. We'll reference them a little bit, but we are not going to be able to get into them this Sunday morning or even next Sunday morning. My burden today and next Sunday morning is simply this matter of spiritual warfare that we're dealing with in this life. It is a tough topic for today's church, but we're going, by God's help and grace, to tackle it for the glory of God. And I want to speak to you during this time on standing against the dark world of warfare. standing against the dark world of warfare. I've just read from verses 10, the first two words of verse 14, and I want to remind you, this is God's word. It is totally inspired, completely true, and it is His message for all of us on this Sunday morning. I didn't dream this up. I didn't write this myself. This is the word of God. So while we rejoice in the scripture that we find on God's love and God's mercy and God's grace, and we do rejoice in all of that, you need to understand there are things that you need to know and I need to know if we are going to survive spiritually in this life. Amen. And this is what we're addressing today. Thank you for standing. You may be seated. Standing against the dark world of warfare. When you look at the end of verse number 13, you notice the word stand. When you look at the beginning of verse number 14, you notice again the word stand that is given to us. God is letting us know that there is something that you and I need to do. If you look further above in verse number 13, it also tells us that we may be able to withstand in the evil day, having done all. In other words, having done everything you can, having put on the whole armor of God, then it's time to just simply stand. Stand in the middle of this dark world. I need to tell everyone here that's in this building and everyone listening this morning that spiritual warfare, it is very, very real. I tried to convey to you just a moment ago that spiritual warfare is something that I stand trembling. I'm frightened today, and I certainly will be next week, when we really get deeper into this, because this is so real and this is so relevant with the things that we're dealing with today. I would submit even this. Every person under the sound of my voice knows what spiritual warfare is and is under the attack of spiritual warfare. But I would also say that I doubt a lot of us even really know that's what we're facing. It's spiritual warfare. The things that you are dealing with in your life are spiritual warfare in many cases. Melissa and I have come to the conclusion that some of the battles and the struggles that we have in our home and in our lives, it hasn't always been this difficult. It's spiritual warfare. And I'm frightened to stand here and talk about it because this is a tough topic. It is a very tough topic. And it is one that the devil fights. And that's why I'm asking you to stand against the devil's fighting between this Sunday morning and next Sunday morning, because the devil is going to fight you like never before to keep you from being able to pay attention this morning. And that's why we need to limit our distractions, our movements. But between now and next Sunday morning, 1 week from right now, he is going to do everything he can to keep you out of church. He does not want you to hear what his demonic structure in this 2024 world is. And it's right here in the Word of God. And I'm telling you right now, the devil is going to fight this because it is going to expose who he is. And it exposes who and what he does. I mentioned a moment ago, the very first words of verse number 10, it speaks finally, brethren, telling us that the child of God struggles with this and is not exempt from it. Just because you're saved does not mean that you do not battle with spiritual warfare. But when you look at the book of Ephesians as a whole, the book is actually written to the saints of God, the believers at the church in Ephesus. Therefore, that was a local church, which makes a direct connection to the Christian and the local church of our day today. He's talking about Christians today. He's talking about the local church. Ladies and gentlemen, over the past 11 years especially, it has now become my firm belief that the primary concern and the concentrated efforts of hell itself, Satan and the devil, it is not on the bar houses. It is not on the liquor establishments. It is not on the drug houses, the drug dealers. It is not on the jails and the prisons. It is not on the pornographic websites. It's not on that industry of filth and all of these various things of vile ungodliness that we like to think about that the devil is having such an influence in. I would tell you certainly the devil is there. His fingerprints are all over it. There's no denying that. But I want you to listen very carefully. The primary concern, this is my firm belief now, and concentrated attempts and attacks and efforts of the devil is not on any of those places. All of those have been established, they are managed, and they are supported by the satanic system of hell itself, of this world. But listen to me, they are functioning entirely as the devil intended them to function. And in most cases now, without any of his influence. Because people are the ones that are keeping them going the way the devil intended them to be. I would also submit to our hearts that those places would not be as they are today with such force that they have and such influence in our society and in our world and in your life and in my life today had the church not ceased being what God had ordered the church to be in the very beginning. But the church has changed. The church has ceased. And according to God's order for the New Testament local church. And so with that in mind, I am telling us this morning that it is my firm belief that the primary concern and the concentrated attacks and efforts of the devil, it is not on the drug houses, it is not on the drinking establishment, it is not on the pornographic industry or any other form of ungodliness, but the primary attacks of hell itself and Satan, it is upon you. As the believer. Amen. It is upon me. It is upon the church of the living God today. The group of people that are sitting here. There's no doubt there are some lost people here today. I don't doubt that at all. There always is. And certainly there is the possession of the devil that he has in your life. He's got you, and that's something that you need to deal with. But the vast majority, I would hope, of those that are here on this Sunday morning is a group of people that have at one point or another knelt at an altar, bowed on their knees, opened the Word of God, and given their heart and life to Jesus Christ. You're saved. You're bought by the blood. You're a child of the living God. That thrills me, but it should frighten you. The fact that you are the devil's target today. Not all of these other places. You see, the devil is not going to spend much of his time, his effort, or his resources attacking a place where his hellish agenda is already being carried out. He doesn't have to. No. The devil is spending his time and his resources attacking the child of God, attacking the church, the local church of the living God. That's where the devil is spending his time and his resources to attack your life and to attack my life. He doesn't have to attack the rest of them. He's already got them under his control. But what he's going to do is he is going to attack the church. He is going to attack the place where the Word of God is being declared in hopes of being able to distract as many other people as he can to get them to go down the road of those drug houses, of those drinking establishments. That's what he's trying to do. He's trying to ruin your testimony. Since he can't have your soul, he's trying to ruin your testimony to see other people saved. And he's trying to get you to walk down that same road to the place where he's already got his grip of sin and his agenda is being accomplished. While lots of lost people are out on a Saturday night, and they are living it up in this world, in the drug houses, in the drinking establishment, in the pornographic industry, in the immoral industries of our world. While they are all up at all hours of the night on Saturday night. I believe the devil goes to bed early on Saturday nights. That he may wake up, be fresh, and have his mind ready, his attacks sharp. to walk into the church of the living God, to be able to address the issues of the church, to be able to distract, to be able to hinder, to be able to compete, to be able to do everything he can to take your attention off of the Word of God and off of what the Bible can tell you and how it will change your life. He's trying to get in the middle of a place where God is trying to do a work in your life and in a body as a whole. And here is what is so sad about it. There are people sitting under the sound of my voice this morning that are totally oblivious to it. You have no idea how hell has fought this church this week. You have no idea what people have gone through to get here. You have no idea the dark things that are going on in this building right now. You have no idea. And you're totally insensitive to what is really trying to happen here. You're coming in, you're going through your routine, you're going through your traditions, you're going through your rituals, you're just going about business of religion as usual when there is a dark world that is attacking this church and is attacking every person who is trying their best to do something for God. But yet you're piling all the stuff on the people of the church that are trying to do good things and great things for God. You're piling all of your demonic oppression upon the church, distracting it even further. Are you following me? Totally insensitive and oblivious that we are staring down the barrels of hell right now in these last days that we are living. Spiritual warfare, it is being fought in the church and among the Christian. I've grown so weary of hearing everyone's excuses and reasons as to why you can't get to church, why you can't pay attention, why that you can't receive or give or receive the Word of God. It's all just excuses. It's spiritual warfare that is doing it. That is the root of all of it. That's why you've got to stand. And God says you can do it. Spiritual warfare is being fought in the church among Christians, and that is why it is so blessed hard for you and I to get here. That's why. That's why it's such a struggle. That's why it is so hard for you and I to pay attention when we do get here. Our minds are running a million different directions. Our phones are going off and we're texting in church. We're looking and scrolling through Facebook in church. We're thinking about what's going to be for lunch. The reason you and I cannot pay attention, it is spiritual warfare. The reason that we cannot participate in the giving and the receiving of the Word of God, it is spiritual warfare. Because the Word of God is the only thing that is going to have strength to be able to fight this spiritual warfare. The devil knows that if he can just get you and get the church, he's got everything else. Don't you understand? We are the last firewall. This is it. People are on to me all the time. Why are you so serious? Why are you so pushy on this stuff? It's because it's the last firewall. I'm seeing churches shut down left and right on every side. I'm doing nothing for God. And I am committed that will not happen here. Amen. By God's help and by God's grace. You will have to dismiss me as the pastor of this church. And I will go out kicking and screaming and warning all the way that the hand of God has been removed. I'm so thankful, though, that I've got a Bible. Because the Word of God declares to our hearts exactly how we are to deal with this matter of spiritual warfare. Let me give you this first truth, if I could, this morning. Because I want us to be able to leave today and next Sunday morning with a little bit better of an understanding of how to stand against the dark world. of warfare that we've got. For us to be able to do that, there must be the preparation of or for warfare. The preparation of warfare. Wouldn't you agree with me that there are all kinds of things that we do to prepare ourselves for various situations of spiritual warfare, and we have heard them our whole lives. But I'm afraid sometimes we get them out of order. I think sometimes we jump straight to the helmet of salvation and the shield of faith and the breastplate of righteousness. They're all important. They're all necessary in their time and in their order. But sometimes what we are forgetting is we fail to prepare ourselves by building up the strength that is necessary that we will be able to stand under the weight of all those weapons and armor that we are going to have. I think that's really what the Apostle Paul is telling the believers at Ephesus here. While the helmet of salvation, the breastplate of righteousness, and all of these other forms of armor of God that He gives us in our life, while they are critical and while they are important, there are some other things that we have to take into consideration as well. And I think we see it first of all in a preparation of power. You've got to understand, you can't fight this battle on your own. There has to be a preparation of power. Now look with me in verse number 10. The Bible says, finally, my brethren, He says, be strong. Strong. That word strong, and if you have a place, you can write it down. It means be empowered, made strong, or strengthened. Now hold on to that. Being empowered, made strong, or strengthened does not happen overnight. It is a process, being made strong. He says, be strong in the Lord, in the power of His might. It is a process. I really used to enjoy working out and exercising to be able to strengthen and bring stamina to my physical body. And I used to do pretty well at it and was very consistent in it until November the 22nd of 2019, when I ruptured my bicep doing a backflip on a trampoline. That's another story for another day. And I had to have it surgically repaired. Following my surgery, my upper arm, shriveled up to where it was so small that I could wrap my entire hand around my upper arm, just like I can my wrist. That's how it was, wasn't it? It was nothing more than a bone draped with skin, basically. I had lost all of my strength. I was so weak that I couldn't even pick up a glass of milk with my right arm. I lost a great deal of strength, and what bothered me the most about this is I didn't feel like that I could defend myself if I needed to. Really, that bothered me the most. And so what did I do? I went and boarded a flight for Turkey and Israel. I went to the Middle East that very next week. Here's the point. It took me 2 years. 2 years of what I would classify to be in-depth, intense rehabilitation, upper body strengthening, to be able to gain any strength back in my arm. And do you know how it started? Are you listening to me, church? Do you know how it started? It started with a 3-pound weight. A 3-pound weight. Now, that may not seem like a big deal, but I used to do 70 pounds with one arm, and I was reduced to a 3-pound weight. I had to go backwards to even try to begin to rebuild some strength in my arm, or in this case, in my body as a whole. But for us to be empowered in the Lord, you've got to understand that this takes time. This oftentimes takes money. It oftentimes takes a tremendous amount of hard work. And it may even involve you going from a 70-pound weight down to a 3-pound weight so you can start all over, so you can build the strength that is going to be necessary for you to be able to withstand in the evil day, to be able to stand against the attacks of Satan and hell itself. You might have to go back to those kind of things because that's how real this is. And if you are not experiencing spiritual warfare in your life, what you need to know is it is coming. You can rest assured that it is coming. Our preparation, it all starts with the mind. It all starts with you and I having a will to stand up and fight. Having a will to strengthen ourselves. Having the drive within us to do it. And to do what is absolutely necessary. We've got to want it. Because if we are not willing to fight, to be strong for God in this spiritual warfare, there's no way we're ever going to be willing to be able to fight for survival in it. You've got to start with a 3-pound weight. You've got to start by wanting it and making an effort. There has got to be a preparation of power. And understanding that it doesn't matter how old you are, it doesn't matter how far you may feel like you're behind everybody else, it doesn't matter. You got to go to the 3-pound weight. You've got to start over and you got to say, by God's help and by God's grace, I'm going to work my way back up one day to that 70-pound weight. I'm going to build the stamina. I'm going to build the strength. And by the hand of God and through His power, I'm going to be prepared for the moment. Through the help of the Holy Spirit, a preparation of power. But then it moves to a preparation of protection. Verse number 11. Put on the whole armor of God. He didn't say part of it. That's the problem with professing believers today. You're satisfied with just a little bit. Just a little bit. You will not survive in this life if you're just aiming to get a little bit. Just a little bit. You're not going to survive spiritually. You got to go all in. You got to go as deep can go. He says you got to put on the whole armor of God. You got to protect everything that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Armor of God. Anybody ever wonder why the Apostle Paul uses the armor of God in this? Let me help us from the scripture here to fully understand what Paul is saying and why Paul is saying it here. We've got to remember and we've got to understand that in this, Paul was actually, while writing this, chained to a Roman soldier. He was very familiar with Roman weapons of war, with body armor. As a matter of fact, for most of Paul's adult life, even when he was with the Sanhedrin, he had been up close and personal with the weapons of war and the armor of war. He was very familiar with it, so there's no doubt. While he was sitting there and while he was penning this divine inspired book of the Bible, Ephesians here, there's no doubt he would look to his right, he would look to his left, and he would see these mighty soldiers with their breastplates and their helmets and their swords and all of these different things. And there's no doubt that's what God used to have him liken spiritual warfare in the Christian life to warfare of weapons of armor and those such sorts of things. You see, listen to me, military armor, it protects the soldier from the weapons of the enemy. Just as spiritual armor, it protects the soul from the weapons of the enemy in spiritual warfare. There is no way that we would go and fight the Taliban if we're in our right mind. There's no way that we would go to Ukraine. There's no way that we would go to Gaza or any other place and fight a war without having some level of weaponry and protection upon us. There's no way that we would do it, but isn't it remarkable how we will walk out of the doors of the church of the living God Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, every other time? We'll go out into the world and we won't think a second thing about it. We will not put on the helmet of salvation, the breastplate of righteousness, or any of the rest. We will not have already tried to empower ourselves through the power of God and the Spirit of God. We'll walk out into a world that is trying to destroy us on every side, and we won't even think a second thing about it. That is because we are among those. We are numbered among those that are insensitive to it and totally oblivious to what we're really dealing with when it comes to spiritual warfare. The principle that you and I really need to understand here on this Sunday morning, and what I want you to get in your heart today, is God is not asking you and I to go out into the dark world and fight spiritual warfare without protecting ourselves. He has given us everything that we need to be able to protect ourselves from all of these attacks of the devil. But we've got to put it on. We've got to be empowered by Him, and we've got to protect ourselves through Him and His armor. So the question is, how do we do that? Wouldn't it be easy, Brother James, if before we all left church, we had a big closet, a storage room somewhere here, and before we left, Brother Brent, every one of us were required. There would be nothing wrong with that, right? But God is a free will God. But we were required to go into the dressing room, the armor room, and put on all the armor, spiritual armor, and we went out into this world so we could protect ourselves. That'd be wonderful if we could do that, right? That's not the way we do it. That would be the easy thing, right? That's not the way it is. So how do we do it? How do we prepare ourselves with power and protection? I will say it again. As I have said it now for 11 plus years, consistently, probably just about every week, you do it through the Word of God. Faith cometh by hearing, hearing through the Word of God. You will not protect yourself from the spiritual warfare that is out there unless you have a daily diet in the Word of God. You will not protect yourself unless you have meaningful, intimate prayer with the God of the universe. May I graciously say this one more time? For any of those that may be totally oblivious to what is going on in this world and the attacks of hell that is all around us, may I say it one more time, and don't be insensitive to it. You've got to be at the house of God. You cannot miss church. It doesn't matter if it's Sunday morning, Sunday night, or Wednesday night. The doors of this place are open not to have empty seats, but the doors of this place are open that we may strengthen ourselves and prepare ourselves and equip ourselves with what is needed to be powered and protected from the evil one. From time to time over the years, I've gotten, be it text messages or emails or whatever, or maybe somebody else who is just said that they heard it from someone, and it's not just here, but in other places, that I wish that he would just leave that matter alone. Stop pushing me to come to church. Stop pushing me to read my Bible. Stop pushing me. Stop pushing me to pray. And I mentioned this briefly Wednesday night, but we have a world on all sides of us that are pushing us toward ungodliness. Can there not be just a couple of sources in our lives that pushes us toward godliness without us getting upset, without us running this direction or running that direction or running this person or that person down? You ought to have a drive and a gratitude in your heart that God loved you and God in His mercy saved you. You ought to rejoice that you've got a mom or a dad or even a pastor or a brother or a sister that will put you toward godly things. While the world, look, we got everything against us right now. Everything is pushing against us. Why can't we have some voices of reason in our world that pushes us toward the things of God? You've got to have these things If you're going to protect yourself spiritually, this is how we will become strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. This is how that we will put on the whole armor of God, since we cannot go to a closet, since we cannot go to some armory place and physically do it. You do it through the Bible. You're strengthened through the people of God. You have no idea how much you all have carried me through the years. The people of God will carry you through the battles of hell. And you need it. I need it. And this is how you do it. Furthermore, something that you need to understand is your mom and your dad can't put this armor on for you. Your wife, your husband, as wonderful as they may be, they cannot put this armor on for you. Your Sunday school teacher, thank God for them, they cannot put this armor on for you. Your pastor cannot put this armor on for you. Your deacons, they cannot put this armor on for you. You have to make a choice that you're either going to fall on the battlefield or you're going to prepare yourself for the war that is out there. But you cannot do it alone. You've got to have God. You've got to walk hand in hand with God. You've got to say, Lord, swim, sink, or drown. I'm going to go with God. I'm going to live for God. Yes, there's going to be challenges. Yes, that old life, that old flesh, it's going to pop up. You are going to see those people in Walmart that you used to run this world with. And they're going to be tempting to you. Yes, you may have a crave for that old liquor. You may have a crave for that smoke. You may have a crave for that marijuana. You may have a crave for an ungodly relationship that is not ordained of Almighty God. You may have a longing to fill that void in your flesh that you have. But if you're going to live for God, walk with God, and prepare yourself for the spiritual warfare that will totally eliminate you spiritually, you've got to be empowered. You've got to be strong. You've got to be determined. You've got to be protected. You've got to think about what you're about to think. You've got to think about what you're about to say. You've got to think about what you're about to do. And before you even begin to make an excuse why you won't get in the Word of God, why you won't get in your knees in prayer, why you won't be faithful to the house of God or give to the work of God and supporting missions and all such things, before you even begin to make one of those excuses, you better stop and say, am I really preparing myself? Because you don't know what's right around the corner. There's an ambush of hell that is waiting for us. And you cannot afford to let down one bit. You gotta have God in this. God through His strength. Mickey, you can come to the piano if you'd like. A little boy one day was trying to pick up a rock. The little boy said, Dad, it's too heavy. I can't get it. The dad said, Son, you can do it. The boy strained and he struggled and he said, But Dad, it's too heavy. I just can't do it. The father, he continued to insist. He said, Son, you can do it. Try harder. Use all your strength. The boy tried. He struggled again and he strained again. And he said, But Dad, it's too heavy. The dad said, Son, you're not using all your strength. The boy said, Dad, I am using all my strength. It's just too heavy. Son, the father said, you're not using all your strength. To which the son replied, and he said, Daddy, why do you keep telling me I'm not using all my strength? You can't know. I am using all my strength. It's just too heavy. The dad looked at the boy and he said, "The reason I know that you're not using all your strength is because you haven't yet asked your father to help you and to pick it up." Friend, the secret to this whole battle, of this dark world of warfare that we are at, that problem with your drug addiction, that problem with your alcohol addiction, that problem with your pornographic addiction, that problem with your drive and your desire for an ungodly relationship, that problem with your problem and struggle with lack of faithfulness, it's spiritual warfare. And you've not yet come to the place where you're willing to ask Daddy just come alongside of you and help you. You can't do this on your own. I can't do it on my own. Today, my prayer is that every one of us will just determine in our heart, I'm not going to live another day trying to do this by myself. I'm going to fall on my face and ask Abba Father, Daddy, Daddy, will you help me with your strength? Stand to